We did a hell of a job in the preseason, but that's all it was preseason. All right? We've worked our butt off all OTAs, all mini camp, all training camp to get to this point. To try to be a football team that looks like this, that goes out and pounds people, is aggressive on both sides of the ball. Now we go out and we start preparing.
Let's go, champs on three. One, two, three, champs!
Good evening, everyone. I am your host of Everything Purple, Mike Wobshaw, and that was the voice of head coach Mike Zimmer in a victorious Vikings locker room following their fourth preseason game in Nashville, Tennessee, a victory over the Titans. Coach Zimmer has ushered in a new era of Vikings football with a perfect 4-0 record in the preseason, and we kick off a new season of Everything Purple here on KFAN and the Fan Radio Network. Everything Purple is your one-stop shop for the best content being churned out by the Vikings Entertainment Network crew, of which I am a part. That's Vikings.com, it's Wobcast, the Pick 6, Vikings Beyond the Gridiron, Vikings Game Plan, plus much more. Each week, here on Everything Purple, we will showcase the best that VEN has to offer. We begin this season of Everything Purple with a guy who just began his Vikings career. It's Marquise Gray, who joined us on this week's Wobcast. Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We're here at Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. We're back from training camp. We're back from the preseason. Regular season is coming right up. We have a game. It's at St. Louis, and it's on Sunday. But you may have caught over the weekend a bunch of roster moves. Final cuts were made. A couple players switching teams here and there. Well, the Vikings were in the news, and they got some good news, because we got one of our own to come back. It's Marquise Gray, who the Vikings claimed after the Cleveland Browns released him, and he is our guest on today's Wobcast. Marquise, welcome into the Wobcast, my man. How are you?
Great, man. Thanks for having me.
I say one of our own, or you're coming home. This isn't really home for you. You're from Indianapolis, Indiana, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But you played for the Gophers. So obviously the Vikings and the Gophers are sharing a stadium, and that's why I call you one of our own. Are you good with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm perfectly fine with it.
Okay. What's it like playing for the Vikings? You're now a member of the Viking after being in Minnesota for as long as you were playing college football. The Vikings were the pro football team, but it still has to be kind of a cool thing.
It's a great feeling, man. You know, like you said, being back in my college town. Actually, you're going to play at my college stadium. Mm-hmm. So I get the best of both worlds, having my family here with me and also playing on college campus at the pro level. So I'm blessed to be here.
I literally just met you in the hallway, asked if you would come in and be on the Wobcast, and you were explaining like the last 48 hours for you.
Yeah.
What a whirlwind it's been. Can you kind of tell us about that?
Yeah, man, it's just a lot of waiting around. Yesterday, it was claiming period, so I spent most of my day in my hotel room just waiting to see what my future was going to hold. So I didn't know if it was going to be our 12 o'clock when I can be claimed off waivers or later on in the day. So I'm just sitting there waiting. Then finally I get on Twitter. I find out that the Vikings had claimed me. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. And then my agent called me, and I called him first just to verify. He's like, yeah, I'm on the phone right now with Mr. Spielman, and he's going to call you right now. I was like, yes, do not tell my wife. I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Because she would go crazy. So when I found that out, try to pack up my stuff that I had in Cleveland, try to go and ship that off. But it was Sunday, so the UPS stores were closed. So hopefully I can get the Browns a call. Hopefully they can ship it up here for me. But end up sitting there getting my stuff ready, and then had a flight, got back in town last night. Well, this morning at 12 a.m.
At midnight. Yep.
Yeah, and woke up this morning for a 6:55 physical and went on the practice field right after that. So I've been busy, man.
It's the part of NFL life that people don't see, you know, but
yeah.
It's a part of NFL life that happens, and it happens all the time. That's not on the Madden video games. People don't talk about that, their fantasy football drafts. There's that part of the NFL life too, right? The business part.
Yeah, it's a lot of dirty work and hard work that goes on behind the scenes. So
before Cleveland, you were in San Francisco. So let's go back there. Tell us about your time in San Francisco. You went through a position change. I mean, a lot of Minnesota football fans remember you as a quarterback, right?
Right.
That's not what you're playing right now. It's not what you played when you started in San Francisco either.
Nope. As soon as I got to San Francisco, started with the tight ends. been a tight end ever since I've been with those guys. Had a great time, they had a great program, great coaching staff, great players. And unfortunately, when it came down to the roster cuts, I originally made the 53-man roster, but, you know, they still make moves after the waiving period. And I was the first to go, and then the Browns claimed me off their waivers and spent the whole season with the Browns active with Coach North Turner. Yep. And his offense. And I made that whole season there, and then this past offseason, originally got moved to fullback the whole preseason, and I would be a fullback the whole game and the whole week, and then in the third quarter of the game or something, I'll go to tight end. So I've been doing a lot of learning, and which I'm used to being a quarterback, so no complaints there.
I wouldn't think the learning part would be hard for you, the playbook. Yeah. And the plays, and because as a quarterback, you've always had to know what the left tackle was doing.
Exactly.
The fullback. Yeah, so that's
exactly.
Not the problem. But to me, it would be your body composition. Oh. I would think that you could, because to play different positions, you kind of have to have a different body for that position, right?
Exactly. I mean, being a fullback, you're going in there head nose to nose on linebackers. You got to get ready for that. Whereas being a tight end, you have the ability to be agile and shake off the line of scrimmage and make the DNs miss, or sometimes depending on what defense you're playing, to Sam or Will linebacker or whatever. Just
wow.
just being athletic, being a tight end, and that's more comfortable what I am.
No question about it, though, your knowledge as a quarterback that you picked up, you learned how to study, you kind
oh, yeah.
of became a more well-rounded player. That's going to help you throughout your NFL career.
Yeah, it helps out a lot. I mean, I think I had an advantage because I was a quarterback at
yeah.
first, so
for sure.
It helped out a lot.
For sure. Norv Turner, we're getting to know Norv Turner more and more, and his son Scott Turner is also on the staff here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, football fans, you know Norv Turner's name. That's a household name, and you respect him because he had so many good teams there mm-hmm. with Dallas when he was a coordinator there, and then when he was in San Diego. But tell us a little bit about Norv, because you actually know him better. Even though he's our coach and he's been our coach for half a year now, you actually know him better because you've played for him for a full season. You were on the Browns team last year that came in here and beat us.
Yeah,
right? So
my first game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was your first game.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about Norv Turner. Don't give away any state secrets or anything like that, no Rams game plan stuff. But Norv Turner, what kind of offense is this going to be?
It's a multi-dimensional offense. I mean, you're going to get a lot of movement. This offense is going to have fun. It's going to be a lot of stress on the defense. So mm-hmm. it's going to be fun, especially for the playmakers in this offense. They're going to get a chance to move around a lot, and it's going to be fun.
Kind of cool to play in the same offense as Adrian Peterson, isn't it? I mean, you're
oh, yeah.
you're not a guy who's starstruck because you've been a star athlete yourself
mm-hmm.
and you've been around stars your whole football life, but still, it's the MVP. Right?
Exactly, man. Every time I go into a different locker room, you automatically get starstruck because you grew up watching these guys. And like you said, I've been here this whole time, but it still doesn't mean anything. I've seen him, and to be here on the team now, see how he is as a professional, and Chad Greenway and all the rest of those guys. I mean, it's just great to be here, and I feel the love here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself off the field. What do you like to do in your spare time? You know, Tuesday is a player's day off, so let's say it's the middle of the season on a Tuesday. What are you going to do on your day off?
Well, since you said middle of the season, not like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I got to come back and we got to hit this playbook,
yep.
get back up to the playbook.
But yeah,
middle
let's
of the season,
go like 2 months from now when you're settled in and you're feeling good. You're not complacent because
yeah,
you don't get to where
oh,
you
yeah,
are
you
by being complacent.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, like, you got to recharge mm-hmm. and rest a little bit. What are you going to do on your day off?
Well, normally if it's Tuesday and my kids are home, we're probably more than likely going to be out on the town doing something. And
yeah.
if the weather permits it, then we're going to be out doing something. We're going to – I know because I would like to rest. But wifey's not having that.
Yeah,
so we got to get out the house and do something with the kids. And I'm all for it, man. It's about them, and they have fun doing it.
Yeah. Where do you like to eat around town?
My favorite restaurant is Benihana's.
Aha.
I love it so much. That was another reason why I was happy to come back home, was Benihana's.
I got a solution for you. Benihana's, there's a location in Mall of America now.
I just found that out.
Okay, so now the kids or your wife, they
mm-hmm.
want to go shopping or go on the rides.
Yep.
Tell them, let's go to Mall of America.
Exactly.
And you can – you can sneak into Benihana's.
Yeah, my
afterwards.
Older daughter, she can have her friends, and they can take the babies on to the park. So
there you go.
It's all planned out, man.
It's been a crazy last day for you, and you're going home to see your kids. You said some of them were sleeping when you got in last night, so
mm-hmm.
you haven't even gotten to see them yet. So I want to let you go, but so you can go and do that because I'm sure you're anxious to do it. But thanks for joining us on the Wobcast. It's awesome to have you as a Viking. I bet you're excited, too.
I'm very excited. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Awesome to have Marquise Gray back in Minnesota playing football. I know Gopher football fans love the guy, and I'm pretty sure Vikings fans are going to love Marquise Gray as well. Let's pay a few bills. kick off the 2014 season and run through the Vikings training facility at the TCO Vikings 5K run on September 7th, presented by Twin Cities Orthopedics. For registration information, visit vikings.com/run. And for more Everything Purple, we encourage you to stay tuned, because when we come back from the break, you're going to hear from Vikings linebacker Chad Greenway previewing the 2014 season. We'll be back.
Matt Castle out of the shotgun, Cardinals blitz. Deep drop for Matt. He'll fire left, caught Rudolph. Effortless, makes a man miss at the 30, inside the 20. Touchdown, Minnesota Vikings. First and goal inside the one. Rudolph's misfortune. Maybe Matt Azzi on his benefit. Gets the call up the middle. Touchdown, Vikings. A one-yard plunge by Matt Asiata.
Welcome back to Everything Purple. That's Matt Asiata, an easy guy for which to cheer, and a member of the Vikings 53-man roster as the regular season approaches. We're going to hear more from him in a minute, but first, let's keep this ship afloat and pay a bill. Join host Mike Mussman, along with Vikings center John Sullivan, for Vikings Country this Thursday at 6 p.m. at Lone Oak Grill in Eagan. You could win great prizes, including a trip to the Miller Lite Touchdown in the tropics in Cancun. Visit vikings.com/vikingscountry for more information. Now, the NFL is a league built partially on stars, faces of the franchise, but the NFL is also a league that's built on the backs of guys who work hard and grind their way to an NFL career. That is exactly what Matt Asiata has done. You're going to hear more about his story right now. This is a segment from Vikings Beyond the Gridiron featuring Matt Asiata.
It is his main focus. Written on his home, body, and constantly on his mind. The driving force in his life.
I wouldn't trade it for the world. Just learning from my dad, you know. He's telling us family comes first, and you know, he just led by example, and you know, I wanna, you know, be the same guy as my dad. Raising these beautiful kids of mine and my wife's, and you know, I just want what's best for them, and you know, everything that I didn't have, I want them to have. It's just such a, you know, great blessing to, you know, have.
He's a Vikings running back, but Matt Asiata has an even more important role at home. Being a father.
That means a lot. You know, the protector, they're just overall, they're superhero. You know, I want them to, you know, see me as a, you know, you know, a hard worker, and you know, someone that can provide for, you know, my wife, and, you know, for my kids, and you know, lead by example, just like my dad.
Seeing the joy he puts on four smiling faces each day is all Asiata needs. The enjoyment of fatherhood and setting an example for his children is something he saw firsthand at a young age from his biggest role models.
It was a good life growing up, just seeing my, you know, my parents work, you know, their butts off to get where we're at now. You know, my dad just, he's always that guy that wants to do stuff for his family. You know, his family comes first.
Learning the importance of hard work, dedication, and a never give up attitude came in handy for Matt after his NFL career took a slow start. Even after a standout career at the University of Utah, the interest from NFL teams was minimal. He was set to join the United Football League before the Vikings called in September 2011. But he bounced from practice squad to being released until firming up a roster spot in 2012.
You know, after the first season when I got released, you know, I kind of sat back and thought to myself, if this is it, you know, I didn't want to give up. Give up is not in our dictionary, in our vocabulary. My dad said, never quit, you know, just wherever you go and whatever you do, just be the best. And you know, I took that into consideration and just ran with it. I didn't want to stop. And I worked. When I got released, I worked and then trained until I got the call back again from, you know, the Vikings.
He had a stable spot on the roster in 2013. And with three beautiful kids, things were going perfect for Matt Asiata. until his life was turned upside down.
I was just calling him just to see, you know, what time the flight was coming in. And I just heard screaming in the background. I knew what it was. I didn't want to believe it because I know, every child knows their moms cry. And I just heard my mom crying. And I tried to call my dad's phone. No pickup, nothing. Still didn't want to believe it. So I got a hold of my mom. My mom told me she couldn't even talk.
Peter Asiata, the man who taught Matt to be the father he is today, was tragically taken in a car accident while driving a charter bus in Utah. It was the hardest thing for the Strong family to overcome.
It didn't hit me until, I got up to his face and I just started busting out crying. I was hurt. And I didn't want to give up. I just wanted to, take his legacy and keep going and, raise my kids like he raised us, just family first and show respect to others and, your elders and go to church.
Through the good times and the bad, the one constant in Matt Asiata's life has been his family. And while he'll never be able to bring his father back, he takes pride in knowing the values that were instilled in him are alive each and every day of his life.
You just hear his voice, you hear his laugh, and just coming home, watching these kids grow up, it pushes me that much harder into, go out there and just take every snap like it's your last. You never know. You never know what's gonna happen. It can just, been taken away just like that. So I go out there and, just play my butt off like it's my last, like it's a game outside of practice. Just work hard.
Working hard, it's a mantra of Matt Asiata. It's also the mantra of Chad Greenway, who's led the Vikings in tackles the past six seasons. He previewed the upcoming season with Paul Allen of Vikings Game Plan.
Smith, shotgun, takes the snap, looks right, passes right, intercepted! It's picked off by the Vikings and Chad Greenway. Near side up the 20, 25, 30, Chad Greenway out of bounds at the 38-yard line.
Welcome back to Vikings Game Plan, previewing the regular season, and this is the Xfinity Player Breakdown. And the player is Chad Greenway, longtime linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings. He's led the team in tackles six consecutive years. How did the preseason treat you?
It's been good. Yeah, it's been good. Learning the new defense, putting a lot of new different things in. And I think it's been a long offseason, but it's an offseason we needed, a lot of attendance, which we had. And then, going through training camp, needed our best one in a long time. And we've definitely had that.
In that Kansas City game, you had that interception, and then you were gone. Well, was that by design? Play Chad a little bit?
It was like a walk-off.
It was a walk-off pick. That's why he tried to get to the end zone so badly. Was that the plan?
Well, I think, I had some issues with my wrist earlier in the week, and I think coach just wanted to give me a few series and, do some more game action inside the scheme. And then once he saw that, and he just took me out for that just for precautionary reasons.
Now, if we go back to that Kansas City game quickly, the third preseason game, take a look at Chad Greenway with this stutter step trying to make Alex Smith miss. That was a brilliant move. It didn't work, but it was a wonderful, wonderful move.
Yeah, you panic. I get the ball in my hands. I see this green field. I panic a little bit. But yeah. You know what? You can't waste those in the preseason. You got it. I want to score in the regular season and get in the end zone.
Did you ever play running back in South Dakota? Because going from the right hand to the left hand, you shifted the ball beautifully like a former tailback.
Yeah, it was I catch it. And I had this the wrist thing going. So I tried to hold it in my right hand. And I was like, couldn't hold it. So I did the fumble over to the left. It looked good, but it was for different reasons.
You mentioned this new defense, and you've led this team in tackles six consecutive years. So, I would come into the season betting Chad would lead the team in tackles again. With the linebacker spot you play in Mike Zimmer's 4-3 defense, what's most different from previous years?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just going to be the coverage responsibilities. Obviously, in the sub packages, most people have been seeing, I've been playing the middle of that package, and that's different for me. But really, it comes down to you know, what kind of guy we're covering. You usually end up on being on a tight end or running back. In some things, you end up being on a receiver in some instances. But for the most part, you know, it's a lot of similarities. We're just playing different coverages within the defenses. So responsibilities really remain the same. They're just going to look a lot different.
Physically speaking, how are you into the season? I mean, from a stamina standpoint. I bring it up, Chad into his ninth season, you basically play almost every play defensively every season.
Right. I feel really good, honestly. The legs, you know, especially waist down, legs feel great. I've had a very tough offseason, probably the hardest one I've had in a long time, trying to prepare myself for this new defense. But again, to be 31 years old and to play that many snaps, that's my goal. I don't want to be taken off the field. And that means you have to be playing at a high level to have that responsibility. So those things go hand in hand. So obviously I'm playing for that. I've tried to play myself into that role in the preseason, and I feel like I've done an okay job, and now I just got to go out and prove it in the regular season.
Chad lost his 2006 season due to injury, went full-time in 2007, likewise all the way through last year to 2013. With the defenses that you have played in compared to this, predicting into the regular season, is this the most attack-heavy, aggressive defensive plan and scheme that you've ever played with?
Well, for me, it's easy. I've played in really, you know, counting college, this is my third scheme. You know, in college, I played for one scheme, and we blitzed like four times a year. You know, then coming to the cover two type of scheme here, and I played in that for 8 years. And again, it's a time where it's timely pressure. So really, any scheme I played in probably would have been more pressure oriented than what I've played in. But I think with that said, it's just the mentality, really, than the actual play calling. It's more about the mentality of the downhill aggressive approach in run defense, but also in coverage and making guys make plays, you know, and just really challenging people every snap. And I think the mentality is getting there. And again, we have a long ways to go yet and a little time to get there.
You're very prideful in your game and in this defense. So when you hear people look back at last year and pin the 5-10-1, the majority of it, on the defense and say this was a historically bad defense as Vikings football goes, how do you react to that?
Well, what lives on is statistics and numbers. And I think when you look at stats and numbers, a lot of times they don't tell a tale. But I think last year, they're really the only stats and numbers. You can look into yards and all that, but really it's down to critical situations. 2 minutes, end of half, end of games, coming out in the first series of the third quarter, third downs. Those are the instances you look back and be like, that's where we weren't good enough. You know, and there's no win or loss in the NFL that goes just on one side. You know, if you lose in a 2 minute on defense, well, the offense had the same opportunity to stay on the field. And, you know, so it goes hand in hand. And just because we're the last group on the field doesn't necessarily mean that you're the one that lost the game. The reality is when it wins, it's a three-phase effort. And when you lose, it's a three-phase effort. And that's just the way you have to look at it. That's why it's the ultimate team game.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Thanks for listening. We wish you a good night and leave you on a good note.
On first down, Castle with a straight drop. Play action, deep left side. Cordarrelle Patterson! Yes! Touchdown! A 53-yard touchdown from Matt Castle to Cordarrelle Patterson. And the Vikings offense is as hot as the Kansas City weather.